with you, if you'd turn with us to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. I'd like to start reading today in verse number 21 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21. As they had the custom in the old Bible, they stood for the reading of the Word of God, so we try to practice that here as well. Matthew 7, verse number 21. Saints of God, I wish you would pray this morning that the Lord would move, the Lord would convict our hearts. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you for the time together. I pray now you let preaching be easy. I pray that you'd bring the things to my heart and mind that I need here this morning. Thank you for the kindness of the people of God. Thank you for the atmosphere of worship this morning. Now I pray if there'd be one here lost, that you would deal with their heart, their condition. Lord, I pray that you would draw them in the family of God. They could be saved this morning. Pray you'd deal with our hearts now. Help us as a church. I pray for our nation today, our community, our homes. Help us. Strengthen us. Protect us, we pray. In Jesus' name I ask you, amen. And amen. I've been dealing with the double calls of the Bible now for 8 weeks. This will be the ninth message that I feel like the Lord has had me to go in the double names of the Bible or the double calls. We've dealt with that of Abraham, Abraham. We dealt with Simon, Simon. Saul, Saul. Martha, Martha. Samuel, Samuel. And Jacob, Jacob. Week before last, Moses, Moses. And then last Sunday, it amazes me that lost people could walk out of the house of God with, my God, my God. But this morning, I'd like to deal with this text on Lord, Lord. We hear the word Lord used so loosely, like the word hell that is used so loosely. There's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You know, we live in a society that's become so sensitive to feeling and so thin skin. But it does not change the Bible, whether you believe it or not. Hell is real this morning. And those that die without Christ in hell, they will lift up their eyes. You say, well, preacher, how can you build a ministry in 2021 preaching such as that? Well, I believe Jesus said if he would be lifted, he would draw all men unto him. We don't get to pick and choose what we preach. We must preach by how the Spirit of God influences our heart. And at that time, the man of God has responsibility to deliver what thus saith the Word of God. So this morning, we deal with this passage, this our great double name character, our double name saying, notice, Lord, Lord. It's mentioned 5 times in the Bible. I'd like to deal with those 4 texts or 4 passages real briefly and preach on the subject, Lord, Lord. You'll notice here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, there is the religion of Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we've cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Notice in this religion of Lord, Lord, there is the claim of this religion. They Many will say to me in that day, what day? The day when we stand before God and we are judged. Lord, Lord. We see this religion of Lord, Lord. America is filled with religion. We have a man down the White House that loves to pick out his scripture instead of reading the whole counsel of the Word of God. A lot of people love to pick out a scripture. They don't like all the scripture. But here this morning we find in the context of our text, the religion of Lord, Lord. Seems like everybody's got religion, but religion will let you die and go to hell in your sins. So we see the claim of religion. Then look in verse 22. There are capabilities of religion. The Bible said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? There's the claim of religion, but now here's the capability of religion. You see, spiritual results can be carried out by unspiritual men. Spiritual results can be carried out by unspiritual men. It's going to amaze you when we stand before God to see who was real and who was unreal. You think, well, how could a man be preaching to thousands and thousands in the name of religion? America loves religion. Religion, I'll remind you, put Jesus on the cross. Religion's very ugly. Religion does not forgive you of your sins. Only the Lord Jesus forgives you of your sins. So we see this religion of Lord, Lord. We see the claim, the capabilities. But verse 23, look at the consequences of religion. Then will I profess unto them. Look what he says. He didn't say, I used to know you. He didn't say, I want to get to know you. But he simply says this, I never knew you. If you die without God, there's not another text you can send. There's not another call that you can make. There's no time to erase anything. The way eternity finds us is the way eternity keeps us this morning. So, Lord, Lord, we see the religion of Lord, Lord. Many people profess to know His name, but He don't know who they are. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in America who's heard about Lord, Lord. But I asked you, does He know who you are this morning? I'm glad He knows me by name. He said, I never knew you. You may go through this world and never be known by many people in this walk of life. But the most definite person that needs to know you is the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Does He know you? Yes, He knows about you. But this is talking about a personal relationship. Is He your Savior? Lord, Lord, we see the religion of Lord, Lord. But then secondly, let's look at where it's mentioned again. Go to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6, and verse number 43. Luke 6 and verse number 43. Not only do we see the religion of Lord, Lord, but now let's look at the requirement of Lord, Lord. Luke 6 and 43, one of the greatest passages in Scripture. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bushes gather they grapes. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Some people say, well, they sure do have a nasty mouth. No, it's a nasty heart. They sure do have a wicked mouth. No, it's not the mouth, it's the heart. Verse 46, here's our phrase. And he said, I got a question. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now here's the requirements of Lord, Lord. I like this Bible word in 47. Whosoever, we all are in that category this morning. Whosoever, it means anybody that hears. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and here it is, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and he digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and they could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth, watch, and doeth not. Talk about the requirements of Lord, Lord. It's like a man that without a foundation, he built a house on the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That's the words of Jesus this morning. That's nothing that anybody else inserted in our Bible. Christ penned these words for a reason. He said, I want you to know there is a religion about Lord, Lord, but there is a requirement about Lord and Lord. He said, any man that hears these teachings of mine and doeth them, then he will be like a wise man that built his house on a rock. Now let's look real briefly about this man that built upon the rock. Verse 47, he was a doing man. He said, whoever hears my sayings and doeth them. You have never had as much preaching as you've ever had in this generation. The problem is applying preaching. Some of you will walk out of here lost without God in your sins, simply because you did not do anything about it. And doeth them. So he was a doing man. Verse 48, look what the Bible says. He was a digging man. He's like a man which built a house and he digged deep. A digging man. He put forth the effort. And I don't know if any of you know anything about digging or not, but you cannot dig straight up. You've got to do some bending. Can I tell you, if you're ever going to dig your way into God, it'll take you to bow down and humble yourself and realize you are a sinner and He is the Savior this morning. He was a digging man. He bent down low and he dug in. Hey, families around the house of God, if there's ever been a time that you better dig in, it is in this day, in this hour. Dig in the house of God. Dig in the Word of God. Dig in the prayer to God. Dig in this morning. Dig in. Dig in. He was a doing man. He was a digging man. But you'll notice he also was a diligent man. Verse 48, he heard these words. He got busy in doing what the Lord had required him to do. He was a determined man in verse 48. You say, what was he doing? He kept digging till he hit the rock. Can I tell you, the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Don't put your livelihood and your foundation on the works of religion and the things that do good. But honey, dig down where Christ is the solid rock. You can be saved by grace through faith, but you must dig till you hit the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and dig out of your heart this morning. He was a diligent man. He meant business. Nobody's never going to get saved if they mean business with God. So therefore, he was a determined man. Then look in verse 48. Something happens that you need to understand. He was a defended man. The Bible said that the flood arose, a stream beat upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not the requirements is like a man without a foundation. He built a house on the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now notice the floods came. The winds came upon both houses. One fell and one stood. Many of us, as children of God, the storms come. Heartaches and trials come. Bad news come. Hurt feelings come. But it's something about this Bible character that we must all understand. It came on the wise and the foolish, but the wise that dig down deep and hit the rock of the Lord Jesus, the storms would not blow him out. They would not blow him by, for he was founded on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, let me tell you, hard times is coming. You better dig down by faith in the Lord Jesus so you're standing at the end of the day. How many families have I seen were so easy offended? Trials came, blew them away. But now you look around here this morning where the storms have come. The only thing that is standing is those that have dug down deep and hit the rock. There's been times the devil's come and told me this and told me that. But I've noticed this, Brother Ty, about the devil. He never tells me the truth. He always tells me a lie. He'll tell me how bad it is. And there's been times I've got up and I've walked out on my porch. I've walked in the doors of Liberty Baptist Church and the devil showing me how bad everything is, but I begin to dig down in my heart. I dig deep and I realize I was standing on something that this world knew nothing about. I thank God we can dig down deep this morning and hit the solid rock of our faith that loves us and will hold on to us in this day and this hour. The church has experienced a great purging. Coronavirus was no accident. God allowed it. One thing I've seen as pastor, it has had such a purging. It showed us who we believe in. No longer have we got our hands thrown up to anything but to God. Lord, we need You. Lord, Lord, there's the text that has to do with religion of Lord, Lord. There's a text that has to do with the requirements of having the Lord, Lord. Then thirdly, not only is there the religion and the requirement, but look at the reminder in Luke 13 and 22. The fourth time it's mentioned in our Bible, Luke 13 and 22. He went through the cities and the villages of teaching, journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, look what they asked him. Lord, are there few that be saved? I got a question, Lord. Is there just a few people going to be saved? Look what he says. He answered him with a statement. He said, don't you worry about nobody else but you. He said, strive. I looked this word up this morning. It means to agonize. That's what we're missing. We're missing sinners that are agonizing toward the Savior to save them from their sin. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Watch. For many, I say unto you, will seek their inner end and shall not be able. In other words, he says there's coming a time that you had the opportunity to get in, but it's going to come a time where you won't have the opportunity to get in. You die without God. This is a reminder to you this morning. There are no second chances in eternity. He simply says this, strive to enter in. I say unto you, seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house was risen up and is shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, but we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Why did he bring up about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's preaching to the Jews. And you know what they're thinking? Because I'm a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I get to go in. But let me tell you, nobody goes into heaven on the coattail of anybody. Everybody must make the decision for Christ upon their own self. Strive to enter into the straight gate. They thought, sure, because Abraham was their descendant and Isaac and Jacob, that they'd get a free ride right on into glory. Young people, just because your mom and daddy saved don't mean you're going to heaven. Sir, just because your wife saved and going, that don't mean you're going. We have to go as an individual trust in the Lord Jesus out of our heart. Lord, Lord. I want to close with this morning. There is the religion of Lord, Lord. There is the requirement or the responsibility of Lord, Lord. There is the reminder of Lord, Lord. But lastly, look at Matthew 25, verse number 1. Let's look at the readiness of Lord, Lord. Matthew 25. I saw something studying the Scripture I've never seen. But that's so easy done when you study the Scripture because it's a talking Bible. It's not a dead Bible. Matthew 25, verse number 1. Now lastly, the readiness of Lord, Lord. Are you ready to meet the Lord? I'm not asking you, are you a good person? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I'm not even asking you, is your church membership in a church? I want to ask you in your heart, are you ready to meet the Lord? So here we see the readiness of Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. They took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, and here's our phrase, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you what he's always said at this reply, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You'll notice in the preceding chapter where the door was shut. A lot of people made fun of Noah when he's building that ark. 120 years he prepared an ark. to save people from the wrath to come. Now the type in our Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ is our ark of safety. I'm glad I'm in the ark of Jesus today. You know, they made fun of Noah. The Bible said he was the eighth person saved by water. What are you talking about? No, baptism didn't save him. He is the eighth person that was saved. Brother Kevin, before God shut that door, he was the last one to go in, and he looked and he said, surely somebody else will be coming. He is the eighth person. He walked in and God closed the door. He shut the door. Now let me tell you, no matter what you think, I'm going to tell you what happened. There's a lot of people wish they'd have got in that ark when the door was open. In this passage, I want to show you something, and I'm done preaching the readiness of Lord, Lord. Verse number 3, first of all, you'll notice 5. There's 10 characters here. He said, the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, shall be likened to 10 virgins. They took their lamps, went out forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them was wise, 5 was foolish. Now let's look what made them wise or foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, watch this. First of all, everyone had a lamp, but all didn't have the oil. The oil was neglected. Look in verse 3 what happened. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, any of you know anything about a lamp? They had it in this hand. And there's 10 individuals. 5 is wise, 5 is foolish. One reached. They all reached and grabbed a lamp. But I want to tell you, the oil was available for 5 of them reached in this hand and they got oil and they carried it off with their lamps. But the other 5, the Bible says that was foolish. The oil was available, but they did not reach and get that oil and take away with them with their lamps. They went away empty-handed. That's the way a lot of people leave Liberty Baptist Church Sunday after Sunday. The oil is available, but you won't reach out and get that what will get you in heaven this morning. You see, the oil was available, but the oil was neglected. They didn't think that it was important enough. In order for you to get oil for your lamp, the Bible says that we must repent of our sins. What does that mean? It means we must turn from our sinful ways. We must put our faith and our faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 2, we are saved by grace through faith. Lord, Lord, you'll notice what happens here. Stay with me. I really wish this morning, Brother Tim, that song that you helped Brother David sing, I think it's number 55. If you and Miss Sherry would come, Brother Tim, I want Miss Amy to come. I want her to sing this song with you. And I want us to play that for an invitation this morning, but I want you to notice this in our text. Church, listen to your preacher this morning. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Does that not speak to our church? 5 had oil, 5 didn't. The 5 had oil were wise, the 5 didn't were foolish. But the Bible said they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the bridegroom came. I pondered this morning in my heart. I wondered those 5 that were wise, even though they were asleep, I wonder how they could have affected the other 5 that was foolish that had no oil, if they would have been awakened. And alert. Church, we must not sleep in this dark hour spiritually. We must use the oil that lights the lantern. Let your light shine. And you that are here this morning, the oil is available.
But you've got to reach as the five did. They've got to reach by faith and receive that oil.
When we meet God, the only thing that's going to matter is, do we have oil in our lamps? Does the Spirit of God live inside of us? The Bible teaches this. When a person is born again, and by the way, Jesus said you must be born again. That's not an option to go to heaven. The Spirit of God comes and lives in us. The Bible says there's a seal upon us by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is represented all through the Bible as oil. But you must receive it by faith, simply trusting in Christ. A repentant heart, a bowed knee. I believe your heart must turn toward Christ. Has it ever done that? And I asked you today, you've heard it a lot. Does He know you? Oh, He knows about you, but does He know you personally in a relationship? I could speak volumes just on that thought. I'm acquainted with a lot of people, but I'm only known by a few. Does Jesus know you? Church, let's don't be a church where we, even though we have oil, that we go to sleep. For the Master soon to return. And it'll be at the midnight hour. Young person, many people won't tell you this, but I will. You may not have next Sunday. I've had calls as pastor here, unfortunately, of teenagers, infants. I know they're safe with Jesus. But there's coming a time when you become responsible to God. He'll hold you accountable. Because He gave all He had to get you saved. He means business.